Welcome back to Left Anchor. I'm Alexi the Greek.
And I'm Ryan Cooper. Today we've got a special guest, Michael from the 5-4 podcast. I think probably a lot of listeners will be familiar with his stuff. But we are taking Merrick Garland down another peg after our episode with Jeff Hauser for, a couple years ago. And we're talking Supreme Court, Trump's, you know, various other cases, and something called Chevron deference. So if you don't know what that is, you know, stay tuned to find out.
That's right. A lot of political relevance from Trump shenanigans and how the various cases might influence the election, even if they don't put him in jail beforehand. And then Chevron deference and the crazy Texas shenanigans are also very interesting, especially Chevron deference, because that's another power grab by the court that is underway. So lots of politically relevant stuff and some salacious stuff. We also insult Democrats quite a bit. It's a good time.
Yeah, but in a fun way. So anyway,
that's right.
Let's cut to the chase and get to our interview with Michael right now. So Michael, welcome to the podcast. I'm sure you're a loyal listener, like all like all intelligent and well-respected legal analysts. So we wanted to have you on, you know, to talk law stuff, of course, you know, the most important stuff there is. And most especially to begin with this the update to the Merrick Garland, you know, expanded universe. There's so Merrick Garland is the attorney general. He before that, in case folks forgot, he was President Obama's failed nominee to the Supreme Court after Antonin Scalia died and probably would not have been nominated as attorney general if it were not for that previous nomination. And so we've got yet one last O'Bungle that is still
– he got like pre-borked. He didn't even get a chance to get borked. He was like aborted before he could get borked.
Yeah, you know? Didn't even get a hearing. Unprecedented. Never happened in American history. And Obama thought if I hire this feckless conservative white dude, then the Republicans will have no choice but to confirm him or at least give him a vote.
That works well, usually.
So, he had this reputation of being like really down the middle. You know, I don't think he ever wrote a majority opinion as an appellate judge that was ever overturned by the Supreme Court. And I think one of the senators said something like, I think Orrin Hatch or someone's brassly said something like, well, if Obama were going to nominate someone like Garland, you'd get a hearing, but he's not. And so then Obama is like, all right. Here's Merrick Garland. You're straight.
Eat your words.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. It's such an Obama move, but it's like the limits of Obamaism in you know, right?
Yeah.
Like this, like, yeah, they looked really stupid. You really made them look really stupid as they, you know, got their conservative replacement instead. Good job.
Look, the 100th time we unmask their hypocrisy is when they'll lose power. That's how it's going to work.
Yeah. We owned them by their own logic, and then they overturned Roe versus Wade. But anyway, so, you know, the basically now, so he's attorney general, and, you know, in my view, as someone who did not go to law school, has never been an appellate judge, has never been attorney general, it seemed to me that the number one job for Merrick Garland or whoever ended up, you know, a lot of folks said it should have been Doug Jones, you know, the former senator from Alabama, who is known as a sort of hard ass in terms of, you know, getting like bad criminals. It seemed like his job was get Trump. Like that seemed like get him somehow. And basically doesn't matter how you do it, because there's a whole bunch of different opportunities and lots of different laws that he broke. You just got to do one of them and maybe all of them at the same time. And yet here we are. It's 2024 and the cases only just got started. And lo and behold, the Supreme Court is running interference for him at every turn. And it seems as though probably, you know, there won't be a verdict in most of these important cases before the presidential election, which if Trump wins, he will just make all of those go away, probably. And so there's been this narrative from apologists, I think most notably Marcy Wheeler, who, you know, used to be a scathing critic of Bush era security state, policies, and now for some reason has become a devoted partisan of the Justice Department. But there's a, like, you critics don't understand. You don't know what was going on. And Garland was doing it as quickly as possible. And so now this New York Times article comes out. And, yeah, maybe Michael, can you just like sort of, run us through the, what it illustrates about, the Merrick Garland's approach to, you know, the Trump prosecution?
Yeah, I think what it illustrates is that he did not agree with you that his big job was get Donald Trump, right? Yeah. I think he would say his big job was to prove that the Department of Justice was independent from the White House after it had been bent to Donald Trump's will for 4 years. And in order to do that, he had to go out of his way to not try to get Donald Trump. And if they somehow fell ass backwards into a Donald Trump prosecution anyway, so be it. But they weren't going to target him. That's the approach he took. That's not really an exaggeration. They basically said, we'll follow the evidence where it takes us, but we're going to start by prosecuting the lowest level rioters on January 6th and see if we can follow connections from any of them up the ladder eventually to Donald Trump. And all the stuff that happened out in the open that you saw live on national TV that you read about in the pages of the New York Times about him, you know, pressuring the Georgia Secretary of State and riling up the mob at the Eclipse and the months of talking about how it was rigged and the bogus lawsuits, all that shit that went dated back even before the election, right? During 2020, we're going to ignore all that. We're not going to look into that. And the investigation into that didn't open properly, according to the New York Times, till April 2022, 15 months after the riot. That is a 15-month delay until the start of the investigation that ultimately led to the major indictments against Donald Trump.
It's like Merrick Garland is the kind of platonic spirit of the very rationale that Obama nominated him for. It was like, right. What can I do that best placates Republicans and Republican voters, and that's going to guide everything I decide to do? But also, maybe Trump has this ability to turn off people's brains, because usually, you know, people don't admit their crimes out loud, let alone on TV. And so you have to like do an investigation. And here it's just like, no, he's just saying it on like this record. Everyone saw it.
Yeah.
And like, oh no, that can't possibly be evidence.
Right. Exactly. He can't possibly have planned and executed a coup right out in the open.
No. I mean, it's like 12 dimensional chess.
You know, it's, we did my podcast, 5 to 4. We did, an episode in, I think, September 2020 called The Coming Electoral College Coup. That was the title of the episode. when Trump nominated Amy Coney Barrett, I had a little spiel in our episode talking about her. So this is before she was even confirmed, saying, I think my exact words were, Donald Trump doesn't have a plan for reelection. He has a plan, a political plan to remain in power should he lose reelection.
That's the end of the preview, folks. As usual, we like to mention that this podcast is sponsored by the American Prospect magazine. So if you want to listen to the whole thing, you can subscribe at $5 a month. If you want that plus a free subscription to the website, plus the opportunity for a steeply discounted print subscription, you can do that if you so wish at $10 a month. And otherwise, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.